This is a toughie. A number of members of our assembly have a problem with one of our elders. And their elders is in single quotes. He also has been approached to try and resolve the issue, but doesn't want to know. When the elders were approached, they closed ranks behind him. What is the next scriptural step for us to take? Well, these are the times when we find out whether we really believe that Christ is the practical head of the church or not. Where we feel like, okay, the pattern is, and some of this has to do with whether the offense is a personal issue or a corporate issue. In other words, if I've got a personal problem with him, then I personally go to him. And if he doesn't respond, then I bring witnesses, and if he doesn't respond to the witnesses, it comes before the church. Now, that's the pattern. If, on the other hand, it's a corporate matter, in other words, he's misbehaving as an elder, and the Christians are unhappy, and they go to the other elders and say, this concerns us, after they've gone to him, they go to the elders, and the elders say, none of your business, you just sit down and be quiet. That's when we find out if we really believe that God's design is the best. And we do that by going to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is not a happy situation for us. We have done what we could do, and it doesn't seem to be working. Well, the Bible says that winning your brother is more difficult than taking a city. Now, when you take a city, you don't just walk up to the front door, ring the doorbell, right? Taking a city means that this is fortified against you. And that's what's happened, isn't it? You feel like you're outside and someone has built a fortress. They're not going to let you in. They've shut you out. So the question is, how do you see that? Do you see this person inside the fortress as an enemy? And you're going to bring out your 50-pounders and really get into a knockdown dragout. Well, the church has a long history of this sort of thing. All it leaves is a pile of rubble, broken hearts, broken assemblies, and that's not a good thing, is it? On the other hand, there are those people who see this as a challenge. And they say, this is what God's called me to do, to try and win my brother. He's my brother, and I'm going to try and win him. So what I have to do is do a little reconnoitering around the fortress to see if I can find a weak spot in the defense. And the idea is then to get in to that brother's heart, to get inside. And that's a challenge. And this is where love comes in. Love is the secret weapon we have. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If your enemy comes to you, feed him. To pray for those who despitefully use you. Right? So you have all these kinds of phrases, and Jesus knew what he was talking about. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When Judas came for the last dinner, Jesus gave him the energy, gave him the food that he used to go and betray Jesus. And Jesus knew what he was doing. So the Lord's not asking us to do something that he's never done himself. So you put up your dukes, people know what to do. But if you get down, humble yourself, and serve them, you disarm them. And that's what we want. We want this brother feels defensive. And what you need to do is find a way to relax his arms, right? This is what Jesus did when the Pharisees came. They were going to fight with Jesus. They're standing at the back of the crowd. He said, let me tell you a little story. And he told them a story about 99 good little sheep that stayed home. And they thought to themselves, that's us, right? The scoundrels at the front of the crowd, they're the bad sheep. And so they felt, they relaxed. And he told a second story about 9 good little coins and 1 lost coin. And after 3 stories about this bad prodigal that went to the far country, they're thinking to themselves, this preacher's not so bad after all. This is good. We like this. Give it to them. And then at the very end of the story, he says, oh, by the way, could I tell you the story of the other brother? And now their defenses are down. And he tells them a story about the other brother. And what's the point? He says, don't you realize, gentlemen, that you're the most welcome man in the countryside, and I have been sent as the personal representative of my father to plead with you to come into the Father's house. Now that is winsome, isn't it? That's wonderful. And so this is the key. There must be some place, there must be some spot where we can actually get in to love that brother. Because love never fails. Love will win the day when nothing else will do it. That's how Jesus loved us, right? Every week we gather with bread and wine and we're reminded the way he got us. We were rebels. We were at enmity with God. And how did he win me? Not by arm wrestling me. He won me by getting down and loving me. And that's how he won me. Now that's the way I'll win my brother too. So to find something that I can do for him, some things that he would appreciate that I can do to win his confidence. He's afraid of me. He's afraid of us. He thinks that we're out to get him. Maybe are. Maybe are out to get him. And he feels that. And so he's built a defense. And so the secret is to get in there and win my brother. This is not easy. And when you love them, they won't necessarily love you back. They didn't love Jesus back. They crucified him. But it doesn't change the fact that in the end of the story is love never fails. That's his promise. A little personal story. You probably know that when people travel preaching, they become public game, you know. And people feel quite free to blacklist you, to say nasty things about you for one reason or another. And, you know, some of us have that fairly regularly. And I was traveling out in a certain part of North America, and I was traveling with some young men. We came to this town, and I would contact the elders of the local church and say, we're in town. If you want us to keep traveling, that's fine. We've got some gas in the tank. If you'd like us to stay, we'll clean the widow's yards, we'll paint your building, we'll hand out gospel tracts, whatever you like. We're not here to impose on you or make you unhappy. If we can help, we'd like to. So we came to one place, and the word was around that Jabe Nicholson was kind of a loosey-goosey sort of a guy. And so there was a couple in that local church who got the word from their parents' assembly, if you go out to these meetings and listen to Jabe Nicholson, you won't be received when you come to visit, you see? And so this fellow decided to stay home. So I heard about this, and I sent the young men off doing tract work, and I went over to his house. Well, his grass was about this thick in a yard, you see? And so I went to the door, and I said, hello, I'm Jabe Nicholson, Icicles. I said, I'm here to cut your grass. Oh, no, he said, it's all right. I said, it's not all right. You know, if you belong to one of these Kiwanis or Elks Club or whatever, the boys would be down and cut your grass for you. And everybody knows you go down to the local gospel hall here and, you know, they're watching to see if these people believe in real Christianity or not. So I'm sure the Lord's laid it on my heart. I'm just going to have to do it. So grudgingly, he let me get out his lawnmower and I started to cut the grass. It was a very hot day, probably 95 degrees. And, you know, the lawnmower kept stalling, and I kept shaking the clotted grass out. And it was quite a large yard, and I finished the front yard, and then I raked it all up, and I cut it again to get it nice and smooth. And he came out, and he said, thanks very much. That's great. Thank you very much. And I said, brother, just go in. You just had a hernia operation. I said, go put your feet up, relax. You know, my mom said, if you're going to do a job, do it well. I'm going to finish the back, and just, it's okay. So anyway, he grudgingly went back in again, and I cut the rest of the grass, and I washed out the lawnmower and gassed it up and put it back in the garage and came to the door. And I said, listen, I just wanted to tell you, thanks for letting me serve. He said, come on in. I said, brother, I'm not going to come in if we're going to talk about problems. If you want to talk about the Lord Jesus, that's what I want to do. He said, okay. So I came in, and we had a lovely little visit about the Lord. So I got up to leave, and he said, well, we'll be out to the meetings. And I said, brother, I didn't come to play mind games, okay? I didn't come to manipulate you. I understood you were in a difficult situation. You couldn't come out, so I thought, well, then I'd come and serve you here. Well, anyway, they came out, see? And at the end of the week, he came, and he put his arms around me. He had all the Christians over for a hymn sing to their house, and he put his arms around me, and he said, this is how it ought to be. I said, yeah, brother, you're going to have to pay a price for this. I mean, I'm just here for the weekend. You're going to pay a price for this. But you pay a price either way, don't you? The difference is that you were being forced to make a decision to cut off somebody who's a brother of yours. Now, if other people want to cut somebody off, well, then you let them give an account for that at the judgment seat of Christ. But don't you cut off. If you have a conscience about this, well, then you do that. You see? So I really think that we have this secret weapon, the weapon of love, and we can use that weapon. I've told the story before when I was in India, this little lady across the street from her, there was this Hindu who hated Christians, and every day he'd come across the street and he'd dump his garbage over the wall into her courtyard and then dump his dirty water on top of the garbage and he'd go back home. So after a couple of days, she met him at the gate and she opened the gate. She's just a little woman. She met him at the gate and she said to him, "It must be very difficult for you to throw the garbage over the wall every day. So I'll try and meet you here at the gate and let you in. And if you want to dump it here, that's fine. Or if you want to put it in our bed or in our kitchen, that's fine. It doesn't bother us. We're Christians, you know, and we love our neighbors, and we're just so glad that you come to visit." It's not playing fair, is it? No. Within a month, this hard-bitten Hindu that hated Christians was over with turban in hand asking if he could use the courtyard for his son's wedding reception. Love wins, you know? And so somebody says something nasty about me, I say, well, I know how to get even. I'll say something nice about them. That's what I'll do. And that's the secret weapon, isn't it? If people speak ill of me, well, I pray for them. I speak well of them. I don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Plan a strategy to go after their hearts. Find a way in. Say to them, you know, every day I pray for young people. I'd like to pray for your kids. Could you kind of keep me updated? I'm going to be praying for your children every day. Boy, it's hard to be an enemy of somebody like that, isn't it? Find the weak spot. Find the way in. Not to take advantage of them, not to hurt them, but to love them. And if you do, love, instead of making me feel like a victim, makes me the victor. Right? It puts the momentum back in my hands. Because what happens when somebody hurts me, I feel like I'm wounded and there's nothing I can do about it. But you can just feel the frustration in this question. They're frustrated. Here's how you get the momentum back. Here's how you have a strategy now. It's the strategy the Lord Jesus used to win your rebel heart. And that's the secret. It's not easy. It will need supernatural grace to do it. But I think it's the secret. And we'd have some really wonderful stories to tell, wouldn't we? If only we would learn the secret of taking a city. It's more tough to win your brother than it is to take a city. But the policy is the same. The secret is the same. Find the spot where you can get inside, not to hurt them, but to love them.